from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are going to talk about the greatness that is Adrian Beltre. But before we get to any of that, the reports are in.
I got it. Spencer Dinwiddie
is
now a Dallas Maverick on a one-year deal.
Were you chasing that down?
That was what I was doing until the news desk would be taken care of.
Very nice.
You didn't say it so enthusiastically that we could like replay it for the big breaking
news. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like you just made it sound like you're not happy about
it. Minutes ago, you said he'll be a great, or one of those three guys will be a great cheerleader for the team.
Towel waver.
It was Dinwiddie, Dennis Smith Jr., and Talen Horton Tucker. And you're like, meh.
I agree. Now, let me ask you this. Do you like Dinwiddie better than Hardy and Exum? Because if you do, then those are the guys that will be the towel waivers.
That's not a good question.
Not Hardy.
Not Hardy. Sorry. Maybe Exum. I like Exum's length and some of his abilities, but there was some inconsistency. I don't know if I think there's some good comfort between Luka and Dinwiddie for sure. I'm interested in Okai's relationship with him. But I think there's some comfort there, and he understands what his role would be if he comes to this team.
I just want to, even if it's a fake, promo, I would love to hear Corey going, breaking news for the Mavs. That's what they did. Like, that's what it felt like. Your reaction.
Okay, you know what? All right. Hey, go to the app. Click on the microphone button. All right.
Tell me how much you like
it. The shiny red microphone button. And either tell us how much you liked this move, the Spencer Dinwiddie addition, or give us your breaking news, how you would break that news. Would you go, hey, breaking news?
Yes.
Like that? Or how would you do it?
So, if Corey's detailing of the signing wasn't satisfactory, how would you have done? I am so in on that. I think we have the potential for at least a once a week segment. How would you have delivered the news differently? Where we go and get calls off the Odyssey app for like how you would have replayed this.
I was rolling in a little late on this, so you guys didn't know I already knew as I was heating up these rib strips that I made over the weekend.
Oh.
And I was offering some to Carter and Reggie. You guys are also welcome to them as well.
Now,
he averaged 3 points and 1.5 rebounds and 1.5 assists in the playoffs in 5 games for the Lakers.
You need it.
When the way the NBA is going, give him a 3-year, $45 million.
I remember he was like, going to the Lakers is like, you know, going to dad. And dad's like,
But now he's coming back to mommy.
Be like going back to mom.
Well, yeah.
So we're the mom.
The warm embrace of the mommy. Bosom of the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, my God. All right.
What did I say?
3-1-1.
Can't believe I've only been back 2 hours.
Yeah, he also had one personal foul a game in the playoffs.
I don't need to know everything that he did with the Lakers.
Kevin doesn't love the Mavs.
If I add up,
is that your take?
How many texts?
If I add up his blocks and steals in the playoffs,
stocks
it goes 0.6.
Right.
We get to 0.6.
0.6 stocks a game.
Not everybody has 0.6.
Technically correct.
That's true.
Thank you,
Adrian Beltre.
Yep.
He went in to the Hall of Fame over the weekend. Now, I want to play you a couple of cuts, but also, Corey, you gave me an answer to this question, and I think you might be upset about the list.
All right.
Ranking the top 25 MLB players of the 21st century. Obviously, ESPN has been putting out their greatest list of athletes of the century, and it feels like pretty much everybody hated that list. But, you know, maybe I'm off base about that. So they decided, let's double down and go into the specific sports. And they put together their top 25 baseball players of the 21st century. I want y'all to ponder where you think Adrian Beltre might fit in that group. However, first, let's play cut number four. This is Adrian Beltre. I'm playing with the Rangers and with Elvis Andrus.
Thank you to all my teammates in Texas. You guys made me feel welcome since day one, especially Mr. Ranger, Michael Young, Ian Kinsler, Nelson Cruz, Colby Lewis, Mitch Moreland, Jin Soo Choo, Chirino, Prince, Napoli, all of you, thank you. The things I forgot, but I cannot forget one of my favorite teammates of all time, my compadre, Elvis Andrus.
Wow.
You're a pain in my, butt, but I really enjoy playing beside you for so many years. That was so much fun. Even though you want to catch every freaking fly ball just to help your fielding percentage. Unbelievable.
I just...
to help your fielding percentage.
Yeah, I love it. And then David Ortiz came up and rubbed Adrian Beltre's head.
That was disrespectful on his Hall of Fame induction day.
It felt like he was going to be okay.
He was like, you just wait. I'll punch you afterwards. I can't do it in public right now.
Actually, I guess that is true. And then... We had a discussion about Felix Hernandez earlier. Let's get one more from Beltre while Mike might be constructing his list. Talking about Felix Hernandez and their battles facing each other.
I got the chance to play with great teammates, especially that are here today. Some of my favorite teammates, Raul Ibañez, Richie Sesson, Ken Griffin, and some guy, they call himself King Felix. And to that guy, they call himself King, I love playing with you, but I enjoy hitting against you even more. That battle on the baseball field was my favorite by far. Even though some people say that you won that battle because it made me look really bad and I had swing strikeout, that you keep posting on social media, you know what I'm talking about. But they said that, you know, you're as good or as bad as your last pitch or your last at-bat, right? My last at-bat, remember, against you was a homer, right? So I know who won. Good pitch.
Good pitch.
I love it because you have the Hall of Fame podium. You can do whatever the hell you want. So that is fantastic. It's just really awesome to see. I know he bounced around to several teams before he came to the Rangers, but somebody who was here when the Rangers were, you know, obviously doing significantly better, made a bunch of huge contributions. It feels like Adrian Beltre became a Hall of Famer with the Rangers.
He came here to be the piece to get him the World Series at third base.
Right.
I mean, Michael Young is... as great of a Ranger as he was at third base, he was out of position. It was a little tough. And so they said, we need a real true third baseman. So Cliff Lee didn't throw his hat up in the air whenever an error is made over there. And so he comes here and he's like, I'll play. Mike Williams like, I'll play first then. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, you were like, hey, he having that much range on one side of the field, not great for us. Yet it turned out to be the greatest thing.
And the invention of the
shift.
And
the invention of the shift happened. But yeah, man, he was the driving force for the last, 4 years?
You know what's amazing? Since he didn't really play in the shift era, he kind of did. Right at the end, we don't have a lot of plays of him at shortstop. Like in, in today's, whoever it is, who's like a premium third baseman 10, 15 years from now, we're going to see some highlights of them playing shortstop, but they're still considered a third baseman. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is an interesting...
When they show all the highlights of Beltre, now maybe it's intentional. Maybe he did make some great plays in the shift at shortstop, but they just refused to show him because then you're like, wait, did he play short too?
Now, where does... Adrian doesn't make the top 25. Where does Adrian Beltre rank among the great players of the 21st century? And the criteria for this is you only get credit for things that you did in 2000 and after.
Oh, okay.
So you, even if you played in the 2000s.
So when he was playing in 1985, it doesn't count.
True.
Gotcha. All right.
I think there's two guys that I think are battling for number one. Okay. Maybe there's another one.
My top three includes some form of Trout, Pujols, and Miggy Cabrera. Those are my three like guys that I just go, they set the standard for baseball.
I think you're right, too. The other one that I put, though, in the top three that I pushed Trout to four for now is Ichiro. Because Ichiro started in 01.
Yeah.
And ended up getting 3,000 hits starting at 27 years old.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, wow.
That being said, I do think my first four that I wrote down were the three that you named plus Ichiro.
Okay.
Who would you put number one?
I put Pujols number one.
I would too.
Number Pujols number one.
700, right? Home
703.
He also hit a home run that went through the Diamond Club, I think.
And all of his numbers were in this. Century.
Yeah.
And people forget, and this is what I'm afraid we're seeing with Mike Trout, how terrifying and how like all-time great looking Pujols was going to be in terms of statistics. When you look at his first 10 to 11 years, you're like, he's going to be better than DiMaggio, Mantle.
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, exactly. Him. So he's one, and then a very similar player to him is Mike Trout is number two. And I just mean similar in terms of... They set the world on fire for about a decade where you thought, is this going to be the best player I ever get to see play baseball?
If I gave you a bet right now on Mike Trout playing over 100 games in another season in his career, would you take yes or no?
I would say yes.
If I moved it to 120?
No.
Because that's still missing 42 games.
Because I was thinking he'll get another season with 110 ish games, but if you move it there,
I think that's the scary part. And then if I said over under three seasons of over 100 games,
I don't know, Kevin. He's only played over 110 one time in the last 5 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Like that, his body may just be done.
That is crazy because the 1 year that I would look back at was 2020, and theoretically he would have. Well,
yeah, because of the 60
probably would have. But then again, how the hell do I know that? Like his body, he could have gotten hurt at some point. So 1-2 is Pujols and then Trout. Number three, Clayton Kershaw.
OK, I had Kershaw as five.
OK, 3-time Cy Young Award winner, MVP, 10-time All-Star, 5 ERA titles, Triple Crown winner for pitching, Gold Glove winner, won the World Series and threw a no hitter.
OK, great.
I have Beltre as top 10.
Okay. So here's somebody said this, and I went to go look at his stats. Barry Bonds from 2000 to 2004 had MVPs four straight seasons and finished second in 2000.
True.
So he was at least second in five straight years.
Don't forget the Silver Sluggers, too.
And obviously at 2007, he was done. In that era, I don't know exactly how to chart that, but he would be the best still. Like just
for his 8 years, right? 2000 through 2007, he has to be in the top 10 after you just said all that.
317 home runs, 1,128 walks, four straight MVPs, 6-time All-Star, 5-time Silver Slugger, 1-2 batting titles, not in the top five.
How much do you hold against him the idea that this is the part of his career where you can say he wasn't clean?
Yeah, and he wore a suit of armor up to the plate. I don't care
about the suit of armor. Whatever. People wear things. Don't wear a helmet then. Go up there like Joe DiMaggio and just wear your hat.
It's not like it was a helmet. He could crowd the plate as much as he wanted because he's like, fine, hit me.
Yeah.
I have eight layers of pads on.
A few other guys that I ran into the top 10 were because of where they played, even though Jeter doesn't get credit for 96 through 99. I still would have Jeter from 2000 to 2014.
Is Mariano Rivera on your top 10 list?
He probably should be.
I mean, like the most dominant
Beltre closer. And I have David Ortiz.
Okay, then tell me who, if any, you would kick out of the top 10 because neither one of them are in the top 10.
All right.
So the top 10 for this century goes like this. Pujols, 1. Trout, Kershaw, Miguel Cabrera is 4. Ichiro is 5. Okay. Then Barry Bonds comes in at number 6.
I'm fine so far.
Justin Verlander is 7.
Okay, I'd have to go look at all of his numbers. Obviously, I know that Max Scherzer was or is two strikeouts away from tying him for most strikeouts in a career, but I get how his career's been great.
My guess would be this would be the one. The two Yankees aren't in the top 10. Alex Rodriguez. Since January 1st of 2000, three-time MVP, 11-time All-Star, seven-time Silver Slugger, won the World Series, 548 home runs.
Those numbers, you can't argue those. In fact, if you really, but if you take
there
out,
are, yeah.
like you should probably have them higher on the list with those numbers.
But you can't help but factor yeah. in the other issues.
Yep.
David Ortiz is 9,
all right.
and Max Scherzer is 10. Are there any that you would bump out for Jeter or Rivera since y'all brought up those two?
I would bump out Scherzer for Beltre.
Okay.
Really?
Dude, I think maybe I'm biased, but watching Beltre play every day, I don't think I've seen a better third baseman in my life.
Here are the bullet points.
Okay.
Because yeah. Beltre is 11. So Scherzer 10, okay. Beltre 11. Scherzer, three-time Cy Young Award winner. Two-time World Series champ, eight-time All-Star, top 10 all-time in strikeouts and threw two no-hitters in 2015. Beltre, since January 1st of 2000, five-time Gold Glove winner, two-time Platinum Glove winner, four-time All-Star, 455 home runs, the fifth most in this century, and then obviously he just got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I think this is always tough because you're talking about the best players in a 25-year span.
Yes.
And it's very tough to separate them.
And you could be 6 and be like, what a slight, and still be like, that's amazing.
He was 5-for-19 against Max Scherzer in his career, never hit a home run or a double.
Beltre told us struck that's out the defining, four times. Yeah.
And so there you go. I'll give you those numbers there, Kevin, head-to-head.
So now you're going Verlander?
I got to go. No, not Verlander. I'm sorry, Scherzer.
Scherzer.
Head-to-head, I have to go with Scherzer.
I know we're out of time. Can you give the rest of the list?
11, Beltre. Then it goes Jeter, Rivera, Shohei, and then Mookie Betts is 15. From there, Bryce Harper, Roy Halladay, Pedro Martinez, Buster Posey, Zach Greinke is 20. And then to round out the top 25, Aaron Judge, Randy Johnson, Freddie Freeman, CC Sabathia, and number 25 is Manny Ramirez. So this is the list per ESPN of the top 25 baseball players of this century. I just thought it was a good tie-in with Adrian Beltre taking his rightful place in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which NFL player or team are you tired of hearing the hype about and you just want to see it already? 877-881-1053. Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Rolling to his right, sets his feet. There's the screen to Eckler, makes the first man miss, and there's Eckler. Left sideline to the 20, 15, 10, lowers the shoulder. Into the end zone, touchdown Chargers. Austin Eckler, 39 yards.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and yes, that means that Justin Herbert is going to be really high on my list as we dive into this next segment. So essentially my question for y'all is, which NFL player or team are you tired of hearing the hype about and you just want to see it already?
The Browns.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like looking at this, I was going to bring this up, I think in the C block, the Browns are listed as the best front seven, the number one front seven in the NFL.
Yes, and that is definitely an interesting point worth getting into. Now, right here, it kind of started with their Bears cornerback, Jalen Johnson. He said, I'm tired of just having upside and potential. I want to be in a position where we actually go out there and we are that, not just what we're projected to be. And so I think there's probably a lot of individual players or teams that kind of fit that category. And for me, Justin Herbert leads the list because I have no doubt that he has a ton of talent. Won Rookie of the Year, and since then, he was a Pro Bowler one time. But like,
and everything I said about him from his rookie season was like, this dude has the live arm you're looking for. He can throw it across the entire field. He's got all these abilities. They just can't piece together wins.
Yes, and so maybe that's going to change now with Harbaugh. Maybe everything is going to change, and you look at these first 4 years and be like, see, you saw parts of it, but now you've seen the complete thing. But I get kind of tired hearing of Justin Herbert as like, oh, man, maybe he could be a top three quarterback. And I'm like, maybe. Let me know when that happens, and then we'll revisit.
Yeah, last week we had the top 10 quarterbacks voted on by Reggie. It was like general managers in front of
office
people?
Is this the ESPN list?
I believe so, or it might have been a CBS list as well.
Okay.
He was five or six in the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
And I don't mean and this to just be that. A comparison with Dak, but I know on the ESPN list last year Dak was 9, this year he was 10. And people compare those two.
So I think it's the
like,
ESPN list.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, what the hell has Justin Herbert done to really
Goff was 9, I think. Like
to account for that. And so Justin Herbert's at the top of my hype list of that's great. Like let me know when that's actually going to have to actually happen.
And I guess this doesn't. Caleb Williams is on that list for me.
Ooh, interesting.
Because I know OU quarterbacks, Lincoln Riley quarterbacks, I guess, and I know what I saw with Caleb Williams, and I know there's elite arm talent. There's elite a lot of different things that he does very well. His ability to see the field. Compartmentalize things on this side, move them around in his brain. Like he does a really good job at it, and his footwork's fantastic too. I also know that the way Lincoln Riley built offenses for you along your career made it easier for you, and you had a maximum amount of talent. So Caleb Williams drafted number one overall. I'm ready to see it if it translates.
This is going to be in your face because offense coordinator Shane Waldron has already said the Caleb Williams is a step ahead of where he left. A step ahead
of where
on your face.
You can't
where he left.
Argue with that level of progress
of where he left. What? Where?
His mommy's
mini
arms.
Camp and or maybe that. Like I can't.
As, I'm not
can't
as concerned
speak to
about
that
specifically.
Part.
I'm not as concerned about the part that Mike's talked about. The I really don't care if a dude paints his fingernails. That makes no like zero anything to me. Lucy wants to paint my fingernails. I'm absolutely doing it. So yeah, with the way he interacts with his mom, I'm not concerned about that as much as just being able to take what you did in college and grow from that. And I just don't know if, again, this goes to the right place, the right player in that place. And they already showed that with Justin Fields, they couldn't get it to work. So how's it going to be different with this guy? Is it all on him? Are you going to provide the best opportunities for him to succeed?
I see the Cowboys pop up on the Frankel injury attorney text line a lot. I guess I'm just not there anymore because I think the Cowboys are just an established brand like the Lakers where they just get talked about because they move the needle one way or another. I don't actually feel like people who cover the sport this year are like, you watch out.
The Cowboys?
Yeah, the Cowboys are ready to win the Super Bowl. I don't feel like people are saying that at all.
I don't think there's any hype on them now.
Yeah.
It's almost like, so there's no way they're going to be as good as last year. I mean, the only hype is coming from Jerry.
Sure, and even that's a struggle.
But nationally, there's no hype on the Cowboys. The hype is like, can they still make the playoffs? And it's kind of like 50-50 on if they can make the playoffs.
Now, they'll always get a disproportionate amount of attention.
Right.
So if you count that, then yes. But I don't feel like they're getting the love or the hype this year.
Can I ask about this player? Because he wasn't on the top 10 quarterback list, so he's not really getting hyped. But he did get the most money ever for a quarterback, and that's Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence popped into my head, and what I actually put for that was the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, maybe it should be Lawrence in particular, but you go back not that long ago, and it looked like, hey, Trevor Lawrence and the Jags are ready to make their way up into the world. And now you're like, are they even the best team, and they're not that great division?
So there's no hype on them right now, but I think that Trevor Lawrence just got a lot of headlines for, I don't know, a week time because of the contract.
Yeah, they can, in my mind, they just kind of go back to being Jacksonville.
Okay.
Unless they're competing in playoffs, they go... The Cowboys can do a lot of things and not be competitive in the playoffs and still be important. The Jacksonville Jaguars go back to being Jacksonville.
From the 214 and the 817, they're bringing up, they have just learned that Spencer Dinwiddie is coming back to the Mavs, and this is why you got to turn it on, leave it on. This is about 30 minutes ago, we brought that news to you, courtesy of the Corey News Desk.
Mm-hmm. Should we go to the voice message news desk? Is that what you
do?
Oh,
it.
Let's hear it. Okay. I want to hear it.
Yeah, we listen to all these.
All right, so this is Kevin from Dallas breaking the news for you.
Dinwiddie, let's go.
Good. Yes. No.
That is about the level of enthusiasm that Corey brought to the breaking news. So,
Kevin, I'm proud of you.
That was not
you
me.
Just threw out. Not this Kevin. That Kevin.
Oh, okay.
I'm very proud of you for just.
Do you have one more
out.
Submission?
Oh, there's definitely other submissions.
Okay, let's hear. Are any of these better than Corey's breaking news? Where he's like, whatever.
I think this is YJG from Dallas.
Boop, boop, beat up, beat up, beat up, beat up. Breaking news: the Mavericks have just acquired new point guard Dinwiddie from the Lakers for 1 year deal. Great.
I like
it. Dude, everybody's as unexcited as I am.
It had elements of my voice in there. It had elements of Corey's unenthusiastic reaction to the signing.
Y'all know I love Spencer Dinwiddie. I loved him when he was here.
Dude, I mean, he loves Bitcoin.
And he loves anime. So like he and my kid, like I connected at the time.
It's not a bad pickup. It's just I struggle with trying to find the minutes for him.
Yeah.
And if you do, then I think Jaden Hardy watches basketball games.
Yeah, and that feels like I don't know if you want to say progress stop or whatever the case is, but I don't love that either. Now, this one's interesting because these are two that we already talked about in terms of the overhype from the 806. T-Law, Justin Herbert, and then the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are interesting because, I mean, look, maybe they were going to lose their playoff game either way, but it does feel like there's a lot of hype on them going forward.
Okay.
Are they the favorites to win that division now?
Mike, did you throw them out as the favorite over Buffalo in that division now?
Miami?
Yeah.
I know that they're not. I know betting-wise, I believe Buffalo's still the betting favorite.
I think you said it a couple weeks ago.
But I would bet on Miami to win that. But I get it. The Jets have hype, too, because of Aaron Rodgers coming back, and it's New York and this and that. So
I just wonder if the Dolphins could have like played in, I don't know, normal people weather. Hmm. If any part of that playoffs would have been different.
It could have been.
Sure, but I mean, aren't you building a team? Like, we understand what the NFL schedule is. We're not shifting it to a place where we're not playing playoff football in the winter. It's still going to be that.
Yeah. No, it definitely is a factor there. They are built for speed, and that's why they need home field advantage for sure. But I think their excitement is, A, they had the Hard Knocks in season last year, right? Or on Amazon. So they had that going on. And then on top of that, they have a coach that's funny and says funny things. He is a clip on TikTok all the time. They have interesting players. There's a lot surrounding that, and it's a pretty historic team when it goes to it. So, yes, they are you need to go ahead and make this happen now, because McDaniel's job, I feel like he's pretty safe because they're exciting, but he needs to win, like really win.
From the 940-214-972, let's stay in that division. It's the Jets.
Yeah, man.
And I think I'm with you there, because I just even saw Aaron Rodgers, like everything Aaron Rodgers says or does, to the point where it'll get a headline on ESPN. And I did at least see the headline. He was like, oh, you know, minicamp is a misleading term, whatever. I was just like, nope, I'm not interested. I'm going to move past that. But there's a whole lot of hype on somebody who, it's been a couple of years since we've seen him be really great. And he got hurt immediately last year and is now a year older.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a lot of young talent. Their defense is, their head coach is brilliant when it comes to defense, and their defensive coordinator is very good too. They have a lot of young talent to rock with. They need a quarterback. They've always been missing that over Saleh's entire run there. So until that happens, there's nothing to really know. You got to see him on the field do it.
Didn't their running back get a lot of hype on the ESPN list?
Breece Hall? Yeah, he's really, really good, man. He's like, they are. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and just does what Peyton Manning did, I don't have to run the whole thing. I just got to be within the team. They can be a good team, but they can't do it with some backup scrub quarterback. I don't understand why either. That's weird to me.
From the 940, they said the team is the 49ers. I actually had a controversial player I was going to ask you about. Is there any chance there's too much hype behind Deebo Samuel? Because he was amazing in 2021, and we all think it's been exactly the same since then.
He's still, a threat to break a play open.
He is.
At any point, injuries are obviously a concern for him, but that dude, I'm watching receiver right now, and him and Kittle are on it, and every time they go to Shanahan or Brock Purdy, it's, if we can give him the ball, if we can get the ball in his hands, we have a chance to do something special. So I think when it comes to like the rest of the league looking at a player like that, they understand. Like we gotta just like Reggie was talking about with Tyreek Hill. But I understand what you're saying. Like, dude, come on, when it comes to fantasy football, produce for me or get out of here.
Yeah, just all purpose yards. He's been fine.
Yeah.
The last couple of years. Because everyone, 2021 was obviously unbelievable.
He's become their fourth option, though, right? On their offense.
I could see that, which is probably what's led to some of the contract strife with Ayuk and everything like that. But I do think the respect he gets spoken about, he's a good player.
Well,
but maybe a little overvalued.
I think also one of the other things too, Shanahan had to sit down with him and tell him his body, his weight, he needed to make sure that he was at premium condition, because the way they use him, he looked at it and said, I'm overusing him. I got to figure something else out. But that dude, somebody from the 425, still monster. Like, I don't want to have to line up across from him still. So,
because you might see him
run past me,
run through you. In fact,
run through me,
catch the ball.
It's fine. Okay. I'll still be laying on the ground hurt.
That is true. That's a fair point. I was just thinking, like, if you had a player that you're like, hey, I got 897 total yards 2 years ago, and then this last year, 1,017, and you still get the ball a lot.
Yeah, it sounds kind of insane to say, but the production isn't necessarily the point with him. Like, it's just
a threat or the idea of him.
It is a schematic mismatch that he constantly proposes that I think opens others up as well. That makes it tough on defenses. Like, the threat that he poses makes it tough any week coming in for a defense coordinator, because you go, how do I handle that?
Are you surprised then that they have, sorry, Corey, are you surprised then that they don't take more advantage of that mismatch as opposed to he can end up as a decoy? I know they have other options for sure.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's, like was mentioned, they have so many talented dudes they can get the ball to that I think that in addition to knowing that teams are looking at him, maybe makes it a little bit more difficult. But I hear your point. Like, the productivity isn't the same as it was in, like, 21.
I guess the question is, when Purdy's back there lined up and he sees the mismatch, does he go, my best mismatch is Ayuk, who went for 1,300 yards this year, or my best mismatch is Deebo out of the backfield against this guy?
Like, or Kittle on a linebacker.
Yeah, or Kittle on a linebacker, yeah. Or McCaffrey with a potential to bust open for a 34-yarder. So That's where the way I see it is you move that piece around and it changes their defense enough to make them have to adjust and change. And because he's out here lined up, and now you're like, okay, I got my cornerback on him, I'm good over here. And then he goes into the backfield and you're like, well, crap, what do we do now?
Do you think that's the same way Ayuk sees it? Because he's like, this is a delicate ecosystem of offense, and without one of us, you're going to run out of some of those mismatches.
I don't think he sees it that way, because he's like, get me out of here.
Oh, but see, that's why I think he does see it that way, because he's saying, get me out of here now, because you're not paying me.
Yeah.
If they would have given him the money, he's like, that's all I wanted.
And I think that he wants to get paid as a number one and knows he can't be a number one in San Francisco because of all the options.
Yeah, that might be it.
And so he might go, I want to go to Washington. Isn't that seem like
Washington has lots of receivers right now, like Jahan Dotson. They have Terry McLaurin.
I guess he feels like he would be the for sure number one.
Yeah, I heard the Steelers at one point too, but I mean, like he probably
Russell Wilson
or kick returner Justin Fields.
Yeah, I still don't. Now, just to go along with all of this.
Does he return punts too?
To be determined. Probably not. To go along with this, did you see ESPN's release this morning of the future power rankings?
The future power rankings?
Okay. Yeah, man.
It's going to be great because we're going to Houdini this thing.
It's true.
So it's essentially...
I'll take 2060.
Yeah, it's a good year.
Okay, well, I really should have given you more context. Maybe we can dive into this.
5 years, right? Isn't it like a 5-year
window? Is this like a decade at a time?
It's a 3-year. It's a 3-year window. So it's not even
2060 to 2063.
Okay, no, it's the next 3 years. 2063
to 2026.
Not, you can't go that far. I mean, you can, but I can't help you with that.
I just feel like the 60s is kind of where I'm focused right now.
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
I bet number one is Houston.
Number one is not Houston.
Whoa.
Kansas City.
Yes.
Because of Patrick Mahomes.
That, exactly.
Number two is Houston?
No, Houston's actually number six.
In your face.
So here's the top five. Good. You tell me what you agree or don't agree with. Kansas City's one. Baltimore is two.
Huh, okay.
Buffalo, three. Corey, your Detroit Lions are number four. And the Philadelphia Eagles, gross, are number four, or excuse me, number five, because they have listed as the number one front office in the league. Then it goes Texans, and you might be like, hey.
Cowboys.
The Cowboys are not in the top 10.
They have too many good players.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they just don't have
dude, it's interesting. It's interesting that you say that, Mike. The Cowboys are listed as number 14 in the futures watch. Front office, ranked 15th. Coaching, ranked 20th.
Ooh.
Quarterback, ranked 8th. Quarterback out of the roster. So, like, what does the rest of your roster look like without your quarterback? Ranked 13. So, at a time when we have Stephen Jones talking about he's got to be Houdini, this list says you have the 8th best quarterback and the 13th best roster outside of that. So, maybe... it's the fact that not that you have to pay these new players. Maybe you shouldn't have given out some of the other contracts.
Or just find new players.
I guess they're the
get
best.
A new quarterback,
they're
right?
The best at drafting.
Like eighth best quarterback isn't the number one.
That is true.
So why don't you get a guy that gets you closer to one?
Trade for Mahomes.
I agree.
And then finally, you have the Las Vegas Raiders. Overall roster minus quarterback, 31st.
Sure.
Quarterback, 32nd.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Coaching, 29th. Front office, 28th.
Okay, I guess he coached a part of last year. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, could be worse.
They're bad. And they can't even talk about their training camp. They can't even promote
it. Not in the local area. Which
maybe that's good for them. Maybe it's like, hey, guys, we don't want to tell people about this.
So we get this thing all fixed up.
Yeah, man. We are going to stink. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah.
Before we move on.
Oh, my God.
Can I play a very important question that came from the voice messages on the app, Odyssey app?
Yes.
Here you go. This is from Elizabeth in Crowley.
I'm sorry, Mike. Did you say you go to Long John Silver's? Question mark.
I haven't been in a while, but I love Long John Silver's.
Then why haven't you been in a while?
They have like 4 locations left.
You said you love it.
I do. Make more locations. I feel like if you go to a Long John Silver's on your app or on the map, you have like a 50-50 chance of it being still open.
But because you're not going enough, Mike.
I guess it's up to me.
All right.
I saw one on the way down to San Antonio this weekend or this week, and we stopped there.
Mike's driving radius outside of work is 15 minutes, and then he's like, that's so far away.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's one near my old favorite Tex-Mex restaurant, Tochitos, but that shut down during COVID. Thanks a lot, COVID.
Shout out Tochitos. Hey, I got a question about this.
It better not be this text. Hey, Kevin, what's 2030 looking like? No, it's just the next 3 years.
No, the little app feature that we have.
Yes.
What are we calling it? What's this thing called?
Ooh, can we call it App Bat?
I hate that.
You said,
does anybody have another one?
Yeah. Your turn to, oh my God. Yeah, I thought of it in 1 second. It feels like you guys would cut me some sort of curve.
You should have given it maybe 2 or 3 seconds. I don't know.
You got to think longer.
Well, you know what? You guys are app holes. How about that?
877-881-1053. Help us out with this app name and how we should spell it.
Okay. Great. I have nothing else to say about this because y'all crapped all over
my
other two ideas. All right. You know what, Mike? I'm going to start Mike Lexit with a very rare question to you instead of you answer it, instead of you talking first.
I'm nervous.
What is it that you love so much about Long John Silver's and what did you get?
I like their fried fish. I don't know why we dinged that. I like their fish fillets. I love their hush puppies. Also the crunchies.
Uh-huh. The crunchies are the best.
I don't know what they call that, but the side crunchies.
Drippins.
I don't think they call it that.
But are you sure?
I'm 99% sure. Give me some extra drippins, and they're going to be like, what the crap are you talking about? But if I say extra crunchies, they're going to be like, oh, the crunchy fried stuff that's on the great fish fillet.
Extra crumblies. They're called crumbs.
Crumblies. I was close.
Yeah.
From the 214 on the text line, Long John Silver's in Oak Cliff is completely remodeled.
Look at that.
Oh!
Like near Hampton and Illinois, I believe, are the cross streets.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I feel like that was pretty good.
Guess what, man? Oak Cliff, that's my hood.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for Mike Likes It?
We did start Mike Likes It.
All right, so since it's a shout-out Monday, I just wanted to give a shout-out real quick. Because over the weekend, kids play sports. They actually play them during the weekday too, during like the work day too, which is very confusing to me, like as a parent who works, because there's a lot of parents who have a lot of money who don't work.
Sure.
But
maybe
Ellie and Aria both won their tennis tournaments this weekend.
Nice.
And their mom, Dora, used to be my body pump instructor.
I'm sorry.
At YMCA.
What
downtown?
What does that mean?
You do like a 45-minute to an hour workout where you do like it's kind of a lot of reps instead of like, let's say you take 25-pound dumbbells. Well, yeah, I can do sets of 12 or whatever with those. I cannot do those for 3 minutes straight.
Okay.
Now, maybe people that are way more pumped up than I am can, but you're doing like a lot of exercises where it's a song that's on and you're doing like a lot of reps to it. Slow reps, fast reps, all kinds of reps, stuff like that. So body pump, which is at the YMCA, but T. Boone Pickens died and so did the YMCA downtown.
Thanks
so,
for nothing, T. Boone Pickens.
Oh my gosh.
Well, they're both dead. The YMCA and not the YMCA, all YMCAs, but that YMCA is dead. Jeez. And T. Boone Pickens is dead, so we're probably not going to draft any more Oklahoma State running backs because when there's an Oklahoma State running back who's pretty good, Jerry can't get on the phone with T. Boone Pickens for his scouting report. Isn't that how we got the scouting report
for Oklahoma State guys?
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me when we were drafting an Oklahoma State guy, the first call of should we draft him wasn't to T. Boone Pickens.
Hey, I'm trying to think of
I choose who. Not to answer that question.
I think the first call for Oklahoma guys is Barry Switzer, so yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, but we called T-Boone up for Oklahoma State guys. Didn't we draft Oklahoma State running back in the last decade or so? Pretty sure we did. He was a backup. Probably couldn't swim in the ocean or never been in it.
What? Like, the hell does that mean?
What was the running Joseph back there? Randall? Like, he's never been in the ocean before.
Joseph Randall. Yeah, he went to Oklahoma State.
Thank you. Nailed it.
Then where did he go?
Jail.
Yeah. Is he still in jail?
Was that the perfumes
thing?
Oh, there's some others.
He was arrested in April?
There are some others.
Well, anyways, tennis tournament. Congratulations.
Is that what we're talking about?
Ellie and Aria.
Nice.
They won.
I like it.
And their mom, she played tennis at the University of Virginia. So she's really good.
Oh, wow.
She's like friends with Ryan Zimmerman. Because I remember when I met her, she's like, oh, yeah, we went to college together. And she was on the tennis team. And now our kids are good at tennis. Okay. So, now, after that, let's talk about what I didn't get to in Mike Likes It. And that is the market for starting pitching.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what the Rangers are going to do. No clue. But let's look at it this way. Right now, Michael Lorenzen, Andrew Heaney, and possibly Nathan Eovaldi are all free agents at the end of the season. The reason I say possibly Nathan Eovaldi is there's a mutual option slash player option, but he has to hit, I believe, 300 innings in these two seasons, and he is going to be right on the borderline of doing it. If he gets hurt, if he misses, let's say, two starts in the second half, he will not hit it and become a free agent. The other thing, too, is Eovaldi, after pitching a team to a World Series championship and having another solid year when he's healthy this year, he might want to be a free agent. He might not want a one-year $20 million deal. He might want a two- or three-year deal. So I don't even know if Nathan Eovaldi is even going to accept the mutual option. So he's kind of a free agent. And then John Gray, after this year, has 1 year and $15 million left. From what I understand, his teams are interested in Nathan Eovaldi, probably number one, because they saw what he can do in the playoffs when healthy. And then they, I think teams are interested in Jonathan Gray, or John Gray, sorry, that's a running back. Andrew Heaney, because of their flexibility, because you're like, we can use him as a starter in the regular season, and we can really use him as a bullpen piece in the playoffs if needed. And then I think people are somewhat interested in Michael Lorenzen because he's off to another good start. He had a rough, he's starting tonight. He walked 13 guys in his last 15 innings. And in those last three starts, he has 13 walks in 15 innings. So,
and it feels like that was an issue even when he was pitching exceedingly well.
True, but it became a little bit more of an issue recently. And look, he got traded last year from Detroit to Philadelphia and went to Philadelphia and did not do well. So teams are probably taking that into consideration if the Rangers are going to trade pitchers. So the Rangers are getting calls on this. Right now, it says the best right-handed starting pitcher on the market, they think, is Jack Flaherty of the Tigers. Now, he's had a bounce-back year this year. He's been hurt a lot of his career with St. Louis. This year, you know, he has been healthy. It says here Flaherty was a deadline acquisition last year by the Orioles, but he went 1-3 with a 6.75 ERA in 7 starts, 9 outings. So that's why he had to take a 1 year $14 million deal with Detroit. Right now, he's 7-5 with a 3.13 ERA in his 17 starts. It says that he's a pure rental, and the Rangers pitchers that would be on the market, if they're on the market, would pretty much be pure rentals too.
Yeah.
Gray would be the only one that has 1 year left on his contract. That's guaranteed. It says enough teams are looking at rotation help that Detroit shouldn't have an issue landing a solid return. Okay. Now, that's because there's not many starting pitchers on the market. Now, the one that is a stud, I should say two that are studs that are possibly on the market, is Jack Flaherty's teammate, Tarek Skubal, who's awesome. But you're looking at giving 4 premium prospects. You're probably off. You probably have to offer 2 of your top 5 prospects and then another 2 in your top 10 plus another like nice throw in that they're like, all right, he's their 15th prospect. You're looking at 4 top 10 prospects and then probably 1 other top 15 prospect to get Skubal.
If I'm getting him for 2.5 years, is it worth it?
Well, and that's the discussion on Jackson Holliday plus a couple other prospects for Skubal. So the number 1 overall prospect is what Detroit's looking at possibly. Now, I don't know if he's going to be traded or not, but it seems like Baltimore is interested, and if they can't make a deal for Skubal, they are going to go to the team you're playing tonight, the guy who's pitching tomorrow, and go, what do we have to give for Garrett Crochet?
Yeah.
Who is having a great year, too. It says, although the White Sox don't have to trade Crochet, the question around the league seems to be when, not if, the lefty will be traded. Crochet will command a huge haul of prospects for the White Sox, who are already in the early stages of their rebuild after trading Dylan Cease at the end of spring training. So you do have 2 lefties that are huge on the market, but if the Rangers decide to deal, I have no clue if they will or not. They do have 4 starting pitchers, and this becomes probably a conversation we'll have tomorrow, is when you look at the Rangers' future rotation, you're looking at Jacob deGrom, if healthy.
Yeah.
You're looking at Tyler Mahle, who's coming back probably in approximately 3 weeks, if everything goes well with his rehab. Then you're looking at Dane Dunning, who's not in your rotation now, who's going to your bullpen today or tomorrow. You're looking at Cody Bradford that when he's healthy, when he comes back, if he comes back, when he comes back, he's going into your bullpen, but would be part of your rotation. And then you're looking at Jack Leiter. So right now, John Gray, yes, he would be in your rotation, but I don't know. Let's wait till after the trade deadline is over to see. And then you'd have to go into the offseason, and that would be the Rangers picking up no pitchers in the offseason, which I assume they'd pick up a pitcher in the offseason with the budget they have. I don't know what marketplace they would be in.
Yeah.
But it's interesting right now. The Rangers, if you just look at starting pitcher and the market, if they decided to put Eovaldi into the market, he would be the best right-handed starting pitcher on the market, and by far.
We could get a lot, Kevin.
You could get in for a rental
ransom.
For a rental situation, Nathan Eovaldi would get you something interesting. And then I'm just throwing this out there. If for some reason the Rangers were selling and you said you get Eovaldi and Andrew Heaney, we're going to throw in the lefty to up the prospect situation.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. That's the starting market. If you decided to become a seller, you could be getting a lot of phone calls.
The 972 going to Long John's right now because of Mike, and I'm going to get extra crunchies.
I've never seen so many texts about Long John Silver.
Do people like them, or is it 50-50?
Love.
No, they like them.
I think they're a great product. But obviously, people aren't going for fast food fish.
The healthiest fast food fish out there.
Corey, I don't know.
Or the chicken. I'm more of a fish fan.
I don't know if this is doable at all.
What?
Maybe we talk about it at some point in the show. What are the brands that you thought were great and you don't quite understand why they're going away? Like, it could be a restaurant, could be a store, could be whatever. Yeah. That's a good one. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
The brands you thought were great, why are they going? No, yes! Actually, Kevin. The top three destinations of Texas, and we talk some little Cowboys questions next on The Fan.
Question mark.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.